Right, I've got Jackie Bailey at the back, and then I've got the lady in black dress, and then I've got the gentleman here.
Thank you very much, Cabinet Secretary. My question isn't actually to you, it's to Robert Calderwood. No luck, Robert. Can I talk about emergency services? Because many people, I think, in this room would agree with me that when you have the REH right cheek by jowl next to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, it doesn't make much sense in terms of coverage of A&E services. And of course, there is no A&E north of the river. Can I ask, when you were told that the Golden Jubilee was off the agenda as an option, and who by? And secondly, is there additional investment for the Vale of Leven Hospital for emergency services in this financial year? And if so, how much? So I can welcome the good news.
The lady here.
Rona Young, Clydebank Seniors Forum, and also an active PPF volunteer in infection control. I heartily endorse what was said about nurses travelling in uniform. I would like to add to that very quickly, washing uniforms at home. I know guidelines are laid down. Nobody knows whether they are adhered to or not. But my question today is on accessibility and transport to the new Southern General Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I represent a population of 48,000. Our neighbouring community of Drumchapel has slightly less in number. They have a direct bus service to the hospital. If you are unfortunate enough to live in Clydebank, you face three changes if you are travelling by public transport. Could some investigation be made, and perhaps funding found somewhere, to provide transport, public transport, as a link with the Drumchapel bus? It's only 10 minutes away. To the Southern General, it would relieve pressure on an overloaded ambulance service, because some of us, myself included, are having to depend on the ambulances to get there now because we are insufficiently mobile to use public transport. I make the plea, investigate again and again public transport from a population of 48,000 people to the new Southern General. Thank you.
Alistair Glenn, retired medical biochemist in the NHS. My question is about money, and it's seeking a glimmer of hope. It's emerged that two-thirds of NHS trusts in England are anticipating a deficit in the financial year ending in end of 16. Is this possible that if there are bailouts for that sort of deficit, that will be a Barnett consequentials for Scotland?
A very good idea.
Okay, on that last point, I'm not sure whether there would be or not, but John Matheson might want to come back in on that in a bit more detail, but certainly We have some facilities in Scotland for the Scottish Government to support our own boards around financial challenges, and we sometimes have had to help boards, whether that through loans and so on and so forth, to get them, particularly when they're transforming their services. So, but in the main, we have a different set of financial arrangements that don't end up. I think the structure of the health service down south has essentially has a model that can see whole trust going into a deficit situation. Our set of our financial arrangements here in Scotland are different from that. It doesn't mean that there are not financial challenges, and we've been, you know, we'll continue to discuss those with boards, but the way we support boards to overcome those is different, I think, than perhaps the relationship down south. Whether there'll be any consequentials from that, I don't know, but maybe it's a question I'll ask Mr. Swinney about when I see him next. The lady who asked about the transport issue, I'll speak to the Transport Minister about that, because I think we need to try to join the dots up a bit more if there are disconnections between the transport links that would make, with some adjustments, would make it a lot easier to get to the fantastic new hospital, then it's something we should look at. I'll pick that up with him and see what more could be done around that. Obviously, Jackie Bailey addressed her question to about the A&E to Robert Calderwood, but if I could just say a couple of things about that. I had a very, very good visit to the Vale of Leven Hospital and want to pay tribute to the staff that are working there. I think they have gone beyond, actually, the vision for the Vale as was first envisaged with the acute services that are being delivered at that hospital, well in excess of perhaps what was originally deemed possible. So they are unique in some ways in the type of services that they're providing, and really dealing with quite high levels of acuity, particularly around paediatric care, and I was very, very impressed with that. Just a couple of things on the Golden Jubilee. I mean, many of you in this room will know that the Golden Jubilee Hospital is a national hospital for Scotland that provides elective facilities. Some of you may or have had direct experience of that, or may know people who have. They do a huge number of hip and knee replacements and other procedures that we are going to need more and more of. And therefore, I believe it's very important that it remains a hospital that has its focus on doing elective planned procedures. And in fact, we want to expand what the Golden Jubilee are doing and get them to do more of that. I don't believe, in terms of the advice that I've received and having spoken to both the board here and the Golden Jubilee, that it would be possible to locate an A&E department at the Golden Jubilee Hospital. You can't just put an A&E department somewhere. You need a whole hospital to stand behind an A&E department, because you need on-call, anaesthetists, all of the backup services. So essentially, you can't just deliver an A&E department somewhere. You have to deliver a whole new hospital. The Golden Jubilee would have to completely change what it does to be that hospital. And as I've already said, we need that national hospital there to deliver all the hips and knees and eyes that we need at the moment, and indeed will need going forward into the future. So we need to be clear that what we're talking about here isn't just an A&E department. We need to be a whole new hospital and all of the issues that would go with that. But if I can hand over to Robert to say a bit more about that.
Cabinet Secretary, not really a lot to add. As Jackie knows, we embarked on an exercise about a year ago, or maybe just slightly longer in its current format, to map out what would be the opportunity to provide a consultant-led accident emergency service for a population of approximately 180,000, centred on a healthcare facility, which for the proxy of that option appraisal was the Golden Jubilee campus. As colleagues in the government know, we did that exercise. We mapped out what would be, in essence, a district general hospital for a population of 180,000. As the Cabinet Secretary we set out what is all of the other consultant-led services you have to have behind an A&E, and we extrapolated that onto the impact that would have on the Golden Jubilee as a physical entity, the impact that would have on Gap Naval General, the impact it would have on the RAH in Paisley, the impact it would have on the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital, and the impact it would have on the Vale of Leven. And we then extrapolated that on a footprint about how you would need to take the existing infrastructure and augment that. And we concluded in that exercise that there would be a significant capital and a not insignificant revenue consequence to meet the healthcare needs of that population in that different configuration, and set out two or three options in which you could consider if you felt that was the way to go forward. As the Cabinet Secretary has pointed out, that fundamental premise would have been that the Golden Jubilee in its current format would have had to be changed, and therefore the opportunity for the population of Scotland, not just Glasgow and Clyde, in its current role would be lost. The Board was advised by colleagues from the Government that at this stage, that premise is not a credible planning assumption going forward, certainly in the medium term, and therefore at that point we have returned to look at the long-term sustainability of the status quo. And to that extent, the second half of your question was, have we got investment plans for the Vale of Leven Hospital in 2015-16? No, we have new costs that we will incur in keeping the Vale of Leven in its current configuration going forward, because we've had difficulty, as Jackie I'm sure knows, in filling the junior doctor posts at the Vale, and as a consequence of that, the Board, in maintaining its commitment to keep the Vale of Leven in its current format, have found additional resources to prop up the locum costs. We're doing a board-wide nursing review, including the Vale of Leven, and the paper from Ros will be going to the Board in October, and that may, the paper will indeed identify, based on the national staffing formula, where Greater Glasgow and Clyde is, where it needs to move to, and it is possible that in that report there may be a recommendation that the nursing ratios and or the trained to untrained in the wards at the Vale may change. And if that was the case, and the Board was in a position to finance that, then the Vale would be a beneficiary of that investment.
Did you want to add anything, Cabinet Secretary?
The other thing is, obviously, the new health centre in Clyde Bank as well has a significant investment in that, which will provide good local services to the people of Clyde Bank. And I think one of the things we're looking at is how we can provide more through primary care, and actually perhaps some of the services we're currently, people are having to travel to acute services, acute hospitals to receive, whether we could do more of that within primary care so that people wouldn't have to travel and they'd actually get more of their services delivered through the primary care model. So we're looking very closely at how we might support that going forward, and a good new facility like that at Clyde Bank would lend itself very well to that. Do you want, John, you were going to come in on the money?
Very brief comment, I thank the gentleman for his question. We have in Scotland a different approach to the shape of how we provide healthcare compared with England. So we have an integrated approach with the acute and primary care sitting within the same organisation. And that will shortly include social care. We spend £12 million within the NHS in Scotland, so a significant sum of our money, taxpayers' money. And for the last 7 years, we've achieved financial break-even within that. We do try and generate flexibility within that, beyond the artificiality of financial year ends. And that, for example, has enabled us to move £10 million with the Greater Glasgow colleagues across the year end to recognise the double running costs around the commissioning of the new Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And the final point, you mentioned Barnet consequentials. We do get Barnet consequentials. These are ring-fenced and protected and come to the NHS. And the lady's question earlier about MS services, the funding for that specialist nurse investment, just over £2 million across Scotland, came from those Barnet consequentials.
I think maybe on the MS, the specialist nurses, I don't know if you want to follow that up, some of the detail around that. If you want to do that afterwards, or yeah. Would that be okay? We get some detail. Yeah.